Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5. I desire that we read 8 verses in our first reading with the help of the Lord. 8 verses from the beginning of this chapter. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. This is a long chapter, and we'll take a portion of it today with the help of the Lord. And now, before the face of our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and worship the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we desire to worship Thee with gratitude. With gratitude for Thy great love that was so great, so powerful, that even in our weak hearts Thou hast created Thy own love, a flame of life, testifying that Thy goodness and grace is so great that it had overcome our sinfulness, O Lord. We thank Thee for this holy word of Thine. We praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the salvation in Christ, for the perfect example of true godliness, never-changing zeal to do Thy will, and in everything to worship Thee, that Thou hast revealed to us that example in Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit that Thou hast in abundance outpoured upon the disciples of Christ that followed Him closely. Those whom Thou hast given the grace of full self-denial, so that they have forsaken everything, and with Thy help, they have overcome sin and death, world and Satan. And in self-denial, they picked up their crosses, and with the power and endurance that Thou hast supplied, they followed in the steps of the Savior. Holy Father, this is our prayer today, that Thou grant us that same grace, that we may also deny everything and even our own self, and that we may walk in Christ and live by the Spirit of life which Thou hast given into the hearts of every true and sincere believer. Gracious Lord, that we may hear Thy word in clarity, that we might understand Thy message in the purity of Thy holiness, O Lord, Thou grant us a renewal of Thy goodness and grace. Forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings. Forgive us every disobedience. And Thou remove from our hearts everything that is not pleasing Thee. And Thou remove from our daily walk every obstacle, unbelief, doubts and fears. Thou make our souls free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Thou make us free from bitterness, wrath, envy, and vengeance. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with Thy Holy Spirit. And then, O Lord, Thou rule our lives. And bless us with peace of a conscience pure, purged, cleansed from sin by the blood of our Redeemer. Thou grant us the joy of Thy salvation. Thou grant us the zeal of thy Spirit, O Lord, that we also, following in the steps of our Savior, may proclaim this holy gospel. Gracious Lord, may that first proclamation come in our manners, in our conduct. Thou, O Heavenly Father, teach us true godliness. Teach us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, everywhere, in every situation, in joy and gladness, in grief and sadness, in abundance, in poverty, in peace, and when the wars come. Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, that pure and holy joy of thy salvation, that we, knowing the delight of thy fellowship, the beauty of thy holiness, the joy that is the pretaste of the heavenly glory, that we may, O Heavenly Father, open our mouth and proclaim thy gospel, that thy truth may sound forth. And thou, O Lord, in the power of thy Spirit, destroy the works of darkness, defeat the enemy, manifest the power of thy Spirit, O Lord, in moving the hearts from darkness to thy light, leading the sinners to thy truth and thy righteousness, O Lord. Thou break the chain of slavery. Thou destroy the prison of sin. Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant true repentance, full, complete conversion, victory over sin and death, Satan and world, new life in Christ, peace and joy, on and on. That, O Heavenly Father, thy scepter may triumph over the portion that thou hast redeemed, over thy inheritance. That the name of Christ be exalted, that thy name, O Father, be worshipped and praised, honored and glorified. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, spread the wings of thy mercy. Open wide the arms of thy love and unite thy people in the spirit of love and peace and true holiness, in purity of sincere, genuine godliness. And so, our loving Heavenly Father, thou complete the work of thy salvation. And may all our hearts and our minds be set up upon the heavenly things, where our treasure is, where our head is. That we may be united, even though we are walking here upon the face of this earth, that our spirits may be one, because of thy Spirit thou hast given to us. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thou watch over us and protect us. Keep us from every evil. Thou grant us, O Lord, that firm, never wavering faith, and that warm and hearty Christian love. Thou sanctify our emotions, affections, enlighten our way of thinking, and O Heavenly Father, thou make us Christ-like, that thy people may be ready to do thy good pleasure, to fulfill thy will in this day of this holy battle. The battle, O Heavenly Father, that is going on since the times of old, in which battle, O Lord God Almighty, thou hast taken that greatest victory in thy suffering, Lord Jesus Christ. In thy dying, thou hast overcome the death. In thy patience and suffering, thou art victorious over the enemy. Our souls, O Lord, long for that time.
when we shall be united with all the redeemed ones and with the multitudes of the heavenly hosts, to worship Thee, to praise Thee, to honor Thee. So we do pray, O Lord, that Thou teach us here to worship and praise and honor Thy holy name. That even now we may be united with all the saints, that after this short pilgrimage, O Lord, we may share in the joys of heaven, in the glory of Thy kingdom, in that great throng that will be led by our great High Priest to the everlasting glory and honor of Thy holy name. Amen.
In our second reading, beloved, let us continue in this same chapter, Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, from the verse number 9 to the verse number 16. Matthew 5, 9. Let us read with the help of our Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This far I desire that we read in our second reading from this Holy Scripture, the Word of God. Today, we are reading the Scripture, praying, and we are also free to share, if anyone would be patient enough to hear a few words or maybe a lengthy conversation from the Gospel. If anyone would not instantly reject the message of the Word of God, we are free to share and to witness to the truth, and there is no persecution. And someone could wonder, are we missing some of the blessings that are listed here? Could it be that there is so much light around us that everybody is filled with light, so our light is not visible? Or maybe we need more light. When the Lord gave this record to be recorded, He used some rather unusual words, at least unusual for our time. Hardly ever nowadays we will read somewhere in a report of some kind of a news that one of the speakers went up to the microphone and opened his mouth and said these words. Of course he had to open his mouth. He cannot talk with closed mouth. Why did this record, why was it recorded this way? In the verse number 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. You know, when the Lord was giving a speech, a sermon, he was not intimidated. He was not shy. He said it freely, loudly, clearly. He had a message, the message of a king, the message of the Almighty God. And he said it. He opened his mouth and taught them. Not in a tone, oh, well, May I ask you a question, or can I tell you something? Or I would like to invite you. Perhaps you can come to my church. Or, not in that tone. No. He opened his mouth and he said it. Why? He knew that what he was talking was the truth, the fact. And another thing, he saw the people, the great majority of the humanity, on a way to destruction, hell. If we know that, if we knew that somewhere on the road there is a mine and we see one of our neighbors driving his car and coming to that spot, we wouldn't say, oh, excuse me, may I say something to you? No, we would yell, because every moment is very, very important. It might be too late. Every moment, the people are dying. And not only that, every moment, the people around us are moving deeper and deeper into sin, beyond the point of the ability to even hear the word of God. And so, the Lord was speaking clearly and loudly. Now, we should do the same as he did. We should follow his example. And if we do that, even if we do it very carefully, very cautiously, or in the friendliest manner, soon we are going to suffer persecution. And then we'll be blessed, because the world is just as much in darkness, or maybe more, than ever before. And there is a great need for light. Now I'd like, in spite of my great weakness and insufficiency in sharing the word of God, I would like us together to go through these verses that we read, if we can manage in this short time that we have reserved for this part of the service, and see what is the message of the Lord. How should we understand that? What the Savior said to us in the verse number 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they are poor in spirit? Not necessarily. They are blessed because there is the kingdom of heaven. But why is the kingdom of heaven theirs? Or what is the sign that the kingdom of heaven is theirs? Because they are aware of their poverty. What does that mean to be poor? In, let's say, in this society, in our country, here, who is poor? Or let's turn to far distant regions, perhaps in the jungle of Amazon or somewhere there. A savage man that has a spear and a dozen of arrows and food for 2 days, he's rich. The other one is hungry and has no weapon, he's poor. Well, the Lord had something different to reveal to us in the preceding chapter. The first message, right after the testing, the trials in the wilderness, that's Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, what is repentance? What does that mean, repent? Well, the Lord gave us a story later on, and he said two men entered into a temple or a synagogue, a place for prayer, to pray. And one praised the Lord. And how important it is that we know the goodness of the Lord and that we praise him. Well, he praised the Lord, but really the name of the Lord was only a label on that praise. This man praised himself. "God, I praise thee that I'm so good. I'm better than just about anyone around me." And so, after enjoying his own goodness, this man went home just as empty as he came in. There was another one that was marked by the first man as a sinner. And apparently, he was a sinner. But the difference between the first one, the self-righteous sinner, and the other sinner, the difference was that the other sinner was aware of his sinfulness, and he prayed a short prayer, but it was a desperate cry to the Heavenly Father. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that's an expression, that's a sign, an indication that this man knew that he is poor in spirit, that he is sinful. Now, we might think that being poor in the spirit is not necessarily sinful. Perhaps so, or perhaps that should be studied, examined, to see what really is poverty in spirit, or if we read it exactly that as it was recorded in the original, it might sound somewhat different than what we have in this version, this translation. The Lord opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed the poor in spirit." Blessed the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it will be, but is. You see, all of these, or at least the few first few verses of this sermon, of these blessings, must be related to this message in the verse 17 of the chapter 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If someone would say, well, yeah, I am poor in spirit, but I'm blessed with the other things. I have health and wealth. I have a good social position. I have all kind of things. And so if I'm poor in the spirit, so what? I still can live a pretty good life. Well, that person is not poor in the spirit only. Might be dead, lost. Poor in the spirit is one that is already getting richer. One that knows that without salvation, he is lost forever. Poor in the spirit is one that would like to be spiritual and see that he cannot. What are going to do those that see their poverty? What are we going to do when we see that we lack something, that we need something? Oh, we cry to the Lord. We pray. And repentance is not just that moment when the sinful man went into the temple and cried to the Lord, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The repentance is continuing that cry until I'm delivered from my sin. If I'm poor in the spirit and satisfied with that poverty, then I consider myself rich. I'm all right. Poor in the spirit means aware of my inadequacy, aware of being poor, and then seeking to find, knocking, to have it opened and asking to receive from the one that has everything. All the blessings are his. Blessed are they that mourn. You see, when one realizes that he is poor in spirit, he's going to mourn about that. For they shall be comforted. In quite a few places in the Word of God, the Lord is making us aware of the things that we are inclined to forget easily. Or he's making us aware of the things that we don't see very well. The Lord did not say in his Word, when you're hungry, physically hungry, eat. We want to do that anyway. It's not necessary to admonish us to eat and to drink, and if we are cold, to put on another coat or something to keep us warm. If we are in the tempest, to look for a shelter, we do those things. But the Lord said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Those that mourn should not think that God will never give them comfort. And the mourning should continue until the deliverance comes, until the comfort comes from the Lord. And the repentance, the true repentance, will not accept any other comfort. It will not be comforted with the pleasures of the world.